Hello guys, welcome to another episode of Thriller Podcast. Today we are talking Bitcoin Cash and everything that happened yesterday, including the Coinbase breach. Then we're also discussing Morgan Stanley and their hedge funds pouring in $2 billion into crypto in 2017. Then we got our main topic, the story of Jihan Wu and Bitcoin Jesus, for the podcast starting now.
Welcome to Thriller with Carl Gonzalez, broadcasting from Austin, Texas. Via SoundCloud and supported by listeners like you.
It's time for the news. 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 Thriller with Carl Gonzalez.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Today's going to be a jam-packed episode. Jam-packed. And our main topic is going to be Stellar. I think you guys are going to really dig this episode of Thriller Podcast. It's going to be the closest we're ever going to get to when it comes to like Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and like a whole 60 minutes format. Like, seriously, this is going to be a really good episode. I can't wait to do this for you guys. So first up, let's talk news, okay? So I do want to start with Bitcoin Cash, but I want to save that for the end. So first up, Morgan Stanley. Hedge funds poured $2 billion into cryptos in 2017. So banking giant Morgan Stanley has estimated that hedge funds invested a massive $2 billion in cryptocurrencies this year. According to Business Insider, the investment bank further detailed that more than 100 crypto-related hedge funds have sprung up over the past 6 years. However, 84 of the funds launched in 2017. They saw sharp growth, and unsurprisingly, Bitcoin's over 20 times price increase from last year, and that's when they started investing. They just had a record high of $20,000 last weekend, and they compiled all their data and all that type of shit, and then they did their research, and then they came up and they were like, you know what? Yeah, $2 billion, here you go. So guys, this is just more proof that everybody's jumping into Bitcoin and Bitcoin everything and cryptocurrency. This is not surprising at all. We know this. It's just starting to feel a little good to hear these stories come out now, because it's acceptance. For so long, we've been getting so much shit from them. So these feel good. I love this one. Also, in some other news, this is important. So Litecoin creator sells stake citing conflict of interest. So the creator of Litecoin, everybody knows who he is, Charlie Lee. He sold off all his holdings in cryptocurrency, citing a perceived conflict of interest. So in a Reddit post this morning, he said, "Some people even think I short LTC. So in a sense, it is a conflict of interest for me to hold LTC and tweet about it because I have so much influence." While he claimed to always refrain from buying and selling Litecoin, it did result in him having to sell off all of his Litecoin holdings in recent days. And the only thing he's kept is a small percentage of Litecoin, which, who knows, maybe like 1% of what he really owns. And then he has collectibles of Litecoin. So as of late, everybody knows Litecoin has made a big resurgence, getting up to $375, a couple of days ago. And it's always been considered, you know, silver to Bitcoin's gold. So kind of sad to see him leaving the Litecoin thing. I hope this is not, I'm sure people will look at this and be like, dump Litecoin. But honestly, Litecoin is such a great coin. It'll be around. So don't worry about that. Now we're going to talk about Bitcoin Cash. So yesterday's episode, we were, I think in the middle of coin talk or something. And I looked at my phone and I had like a Coinbase notification. It said Bitcoin Cash is open up in the market. And I don't know if you guys remember me saying this, but in the show, I was like, oh fuck. So I tried to buy some and you can't buy any, like you couldn't buy any. And then what ended up happening is you could buy some, but you had to buy some at like $8,000. And then it was only selling at $3,000. It jumped fast. And everybody knew this was going to happen. We discussed it last week. Remember guys, when we was on Friday or Thursday's episode, it was Bitcoin versus Bitcoin Cash, and we discussed the whole episode and we talked about how Bitcoin Cash is going to be the number two cryptocurrency right underneath Bitcoin, and eventually they're going to swap places. We talked about that on Thursday's episode, I believe it was. So it was pretty interesting to see all this go ahead. But what's funny is there was several Reddit posts that happened last week in regards to the API being leaked of Bitcoin Cash. So if you looked at some of the images there, you could see that there was an API screenshot of somebody's Coinbase desktop. And people assumed that it was just like HTML, you know, coding, and just kind of changed it, took a screenshot of that, and then posted on Reddit to drive the price up. But it turned out to be actually true. That was actual code, Coinbase code on Reddit. So somebody that worked there actually dumped a screenshot. And so today, everybody knows Brian Armstrong. He's the CEO of Coinbase. So they announced that it will commence an investigation into whether employees may have violated its insider training rules in the run-up to its surprise listing of Bitcoin Cash yesterday. And if you were listening to the show, I remember telling you guys that it's going to show up on Coinbase. And I remember saying like a couple weeks ago that I wouldn't be surprised if Coinbase releases a new coin before Christmas. And it turns out that happened. But what's more interesting is, if we look at the data now that we know this happened, you could see Bitcoin Cash rising for almost a week now, 2 weeks almost, a week and a half. It's just slowly creeping up. And it's funny because this was probably known for a while. This wasn't just known like, you know, all of a sudden like a day ago when they say that, you know, the run-up happened, which was, I think, Saturday. But honestly, guys, this was known for a while. You could kind of see the trend. That's why we look at CoinMarketCap every day. That's why I try to look at every coin. And then every once in a while, I'll say, that's interesting. That's been going up for several days now, like Verge, like Tron. We start watching these coins every day on MarketCap, and we can kind of see a trend. And if Bitcoin Cash is, you know, driving its price up slowly and slowly, something's going on. So I think a lot of people knew about it, not just, you know, what they said that happened. So he wrote and he said, given the price increase in the hours leading up the announcement, we will be conducting an investigation into this matter. We find evidence of an employee or contractor violating our policies directly or indirectly. I will not hesitate to terminate the employee immediately and take appropriate legal action. So it kind of crazy, because that means that he's coming after somebody that works with him at Coinbase. It's kind of fucking scary. And if you go to Reddit right now, you can find out, you can see the screenshot of that API leaked on Bcash. I remember seeing it on Saturday. I didn't think anything of it, because to me, I already have Bcash. Remember I told you guys I found it on my Keep Key when it forked, and I didn't think anything of it. Now that $20 that I had on there is now $130. So it's growing. But to me, it's one of those things where I think Bitcoin Cash is going to be a very important cryptocurrency. It's going to probably even be the number two, or maybe even take over from the number one cryptocurrency. It still has the Bitcoin name in there, so it doesn't really matter if Bitcoin Cash wins or Bitcoin. That's the way I look at it. It's all the same to me. As long as Bitcoin wins, we're fine. Yes, if you have some Bitcoin and you're investing in that, you're going to lose out. No, I don't think so. I think Bitcoin is still going to have... it's still going to have a place. You know, it's the original coin. It's the original OG of cryptocurrency. It will always have a place. It will always have a place. If Bitcoin Cash ends up taking the reins of it, it'll only be because it is just a faster, more reliable cryptocurrency. Doesn't mean Bitcoin is not valuable. It just means that less people use it, but it doesn't drive down the price. I would love to see Bitcoin actually go down. I think it would be hilarious, because as soon as it goes down, you're gonna have tons of people buying Bitcoin. Tons of people. It went down right now. I think it's at 16,000 or something like that last time I checked. But honestly, I wouldn't freak out too much. I would only start freaking out if it got down to $5,000. If Bitcoin crashed back down to $5,000 and Bitcoin Cash became a $20,000 coin, then I would probably be freaking out. But I wouldn't be, I think at that point, I wouldn't care. I'd be like, well, I'm still holding Bitcoin. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? So, you know, say what you will about what's going on right now with Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin. To me, it's all relative. It's all the same. It's still Bitcoin. I don't consider Bitcoin Cash to be Bitcoin, but it still has the name of Bitcoin inside of it. So I think there's room for everybody to get along with this. And it looks like everybody knew this was going to happen. And it's funny, because if you look at Dash right now, Dash is behaving the same way. It's been slowly climbing up this past 2 weeks. Seems like something's going on with Dash. And what did I say a week ago? Dash will likely be on Coinbase. It's almost a definite. So I wouldn't be surprised if Dash shows up on Coinbase here in the beginning of the year. That would not surprise me at all. So get ready for that. And then on our last piece of news, I think no, that was it. I covered everything. So there was actually two pieces of Bitcoin Cash news, and I kind of converted them into one. So yeah, that's why I wanted to save the end. I have a lot to talk about it today. We're actually in our main topic. We're going to be discussing Jihan Wu and Bitcoin Jesus, and I'm not siding with anybody, guys, because I know a lot of you hang out in the BTC subreddit and a lot of you hang out in the Bitcoin subreddit. I'm not siding with either one. I am just presenting what I know to be true. Now, and you guys can decide for yourselves. And I'm sure I'm going to get a shit ton of hate for this episode. But a lot of people that that just recently got into Bitcoin and cryptocurrency don't even know any of these stories. So right now I'm talking to them. I'm talking to the new people that are coming into cryptocurrency. A lot of them don't know what's going on or even what I'm talking about right now. So I'm going to give an explanation for them. This is so that they know what they're getting into when they're investing in Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin. There's a lot of drama. It's been called Civil War. It's been like that for a while. Yesterday was a big event that took place. Everybody likes to call it the flippening. There's a whole lot of drama involved with Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. I'm not going to try to dissect it. I'm not going to pick sides. I'm just going to show you guys what I have to offer and explain everything out. So this episode might be one of those 60-minute CBS episodes. I really believe that, because it will be one that we will refer to, you know, long after this, where we'll say, remember that episode where we talked about this? And it's kind of fitting because this is our last episode of the year. All the other episodes that are being recorded from now until January 1st are already pre-recorded. I got to record two more episodes tonight after this one, and then after that, you know, Thriller Podcast is finished for the year. After that, it's just Patreon updates and Twitter updates and Periscopes. That's all we're doing. So it's kind of fitting that we end in a culmination like this with Bitcoin Cash. It's been a crazy year for cryptocurrency. It's been a crazy year for Bitcoin. I can't wait to see what happens in 2018. But with that, let's get into our tech tip of the day.
Cars, tech tip of the day.
So today's tech tip of the day is actually another app, and this one is a very great app. I'm sure you guys all have heard of Firefox, the browser for Windows, for Mac, for everything, Linux, everything. It's great. Firefox is a great browser. I personally use Chrome and Firefox and Safari and IE sometimes for work, but it's all relative. It's all the same for me. I have my favorite, but it doesn't matter. Anyways, what I'm trying to get at is Firefox Focus is a new app released by the Mozilla Foundation, and it's on mobile. You can get it on Android and you can get it on iOS. It's a great app. It's kind of like, think of the best features of incognito mode in Chrome, but putting it into a small little app on your phone. So you can pull up Firefox Focus, you type in any address, it doesn't matter what it is, and you go to it, and all of a sudden it goes to search, and it's just like a regular browser. And you look up stuff, you can sign into places, whatever. And then as soon as you, at the very top, there's one button. It's not a reload button, it's just an erase button. And it erases that you've never even been anywhere. It even does this, so like if you go to, like say, let's go to GDAX right now in there, and say I were to log in and do all my stuff on there, and then I forget to close the thing out. Well, when I log back in there, it's going to be erased. So I think this is a great little app. I use it on a daily basis whenever I want to, check my Bittrex, check my BitConnect, check my Western Coin, check any of that stuff. I log in via that way, so that way I don't leave if I lose my phone or something like that, no one has my passcodes, everything's been erased. I also want to mention, because there was a person talking on Twitter, and they had said that they got hacked from Binance. And I told them, I was like, people are very loosey-goosey with their email. So this is totally different from Firefox Focus. But please, guys, if you're out there and you're using, like, say you're using like a Yahoo address or a Gmail address to sign up for these places like Bittrex and Binance or anything like that, do not use those addresses to sign up with those places. If you were to get hacked from that, or if that's the email address that you use for like Reddit or for anything like that, once people, like, people are really good these days, and there's a 14-year-old kid that can learn how to hack somebody just on YouTube alone. Like, it's very easy. It's very easy these days to hack somebody with a little social media, finding out your Facebook, finding out your Twitter, you know, grabbing those tweets, grabbing those posts that you make, looking for those keywords, looking through your, you know, your bio, all that stuff, and then grabbing your email, like your Gmail or whatever. You know, you got to keep that stuff private. You got to make sure you don't share your Gmail address, especially the one that you sign into your bank account with, your Coinbase with, all that stuff. You know, you got to make sure that you have a front-facing email. And what I mean front-facing is create another email, buy a domain, call it, you know, like, for example, car@thrillerpodcast.com. There's no exchange account tied to thrillerpodcast.com. It's just a forward to my other mail that forwards to my other mail that forwards to my, like, I'm that serious when it comes to my privacy. So you guys need to make sure that you guys also do that as well. Especially if these days, if somebody finds out your real email address and with a little social media looking through your accounts, they can get your, once they own your email address, they can start doing two-factor authentication on all the websites that you go to. They can call up, you know, T-Mobile or Verizon or Sprint or AT&T, whoever you're with, and get your phone changed with their phone. It's all easy. It's just a downslope from there. So that's another pro tip, and I thought I'd share that because I saw somebody post that on Reddit today and I tried to explain it, but it was very hard to explain. Anyways, that's another tip for you. First tip, Firefox Focus. Go download it. It's free in the App Store of your choice. Now, let's get into Coin Talk.
It is time for Coin Talk.
So all that begging that I did yesterday in Coin Talk, where I was talking about that I have no Patreons, no one cares. No one wants to support Thriller Podcast. You know, all that stuff. Well, guess what happened? We got our first Patreon, baby. That's right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. See, there's no harm in begging people. That's what I've been saying, you know? So, no, I'm just kidding. So, honestly, thank you so much. Joseph Abon, A-B-A-N. Thank you so much, dude. Joseph, you're an awesome man. You're our very first patron. Thank you so much. If you were here, I would give you a hug and a couple Bitcoin. I'm just kidding. Maybe not Bitcoin, but I'd probably send you some regular coin because, dude, you're awesome, man. You just pledged 5 hours ago. You pledged for $1 a month. I really appreciate you, man. You're the very first person to become a part of the Thriller Army. So right now, you're like our lead general. So thanks very much, Joseph. I really appreciate it. That was an awesome surprise. I know it's just $1 a month, guys, but to me, that just shows that I'm giving you guys value, that you guys are learning something, that, you know, that you're taking all my knowledge that I'm giving you and you're just going out there and you're buying coin or whatever, you're buying Verge, you're making triple time your investment, and you're saying, where did I learn this from? Oh yeah, from that dude Carr on Thriller Podcast. Let me throw him $1 a month, you know? He's good for it. I really appreciate it, Joseph. Thank you so much, man. That's awesome. Like, when I saw that, I'm not gonna lie, I think a tear rolled down my cheek. Anyway, so with him doing that, I went ahead and just cut down the tiers. I cut down three tiers. So right now, I'm just gonna run through this real quick, guys, before our Coin Talk segment. But so right now, for $1 a month, you can join Thriller Army, and then that gives you a thank you, just like Joseph got right now on the podcast, appreciating you. If you're number two, you're probably just going to get just as long as a praise as Joseph right now. And then you get a shout out on Thriller Podcast, of course, and a thank you. And then you get exclusive access to our Thriller Podcast mini episodes. Those are the ones that I'm doing here at least twice a week. I haven't done this one this week yet, so I'm probably going to do one tonight. And then also you get early access to Thriller Podcast. So as soon as I am done with Thriller Podcast, I release it to the Patreon, and that's done here probably like 9 p.m., and that's when you guys get it first. And then after that, it goes everywhere else, but it goes to you guys first. And then you also get major discounts whenever we start rolling out, you know, merchandise. Once we get some more Patreons and we start getting some more money rolled in, I'm just going to start using that to buy merch, and you guys are going to get it at cost. And then for $5 a month, I'm going to start introducing voting. So that way you guys can start voting on topics that we discuss, because I'm starting to run out of ideas, guys. I'm not going to lie. But if you guys can start voting on what you want me to talk about, then I can do the research and find out everything. And then also you guys can contribute ideas as well to Thriller Podcast mini episodes. And then of course you get early access to our special editions of Thriller Podcast. So this coming week, we're going to release the Christmas episode and the New Year's episode. So I'm gonna release all those on Saturday for everybody that joins Patreon. If you donate at $5 a month, just $5, that's like a Big Mac. If you do that for $5 a month, you get access to all that stuff early. So you're gonna have that on Saturday. And then I'm gonna release 3 more episodes next week. So you're gonna get all those early. So you're gonna get a total of 5 Thriller Podcast episodes on Saturday, the ones that I'm pre-recording this week. Because we're on vacation next week. And then also you get exclusive access, because I'm a movie fan, and I just love reviewing movies. I just find them so fascinating. So that's just another thing that I like doing, but I don't want to force it down y'all's throats on this, you know, cryptocurrency enthusiast podcast. I'd rather leave that for my patrons. So I'm putting whatever Thriller Podcast movie review episodes that we do, it's going on Patreon only. You also become a part of the Thriller Producer Monthly Show. So once a month, I'll do a Thriller Producer Monthly Show, and we'll talk about everything behind the scenes with Thriller Podcasts, all that stuff. And that gets put into the Patreon feed, and that's just for people that donate at $5 a month. And then finally, I added this on there, exclusive access to a monthly Google Hangout. So if you're at $5 a month, we're going to hang out once a month. I'm going to take questions from you guys. We're going to do a Google Hangout. We're going to chat. We're going to do it all. We'll talk coin, whatever you want to discuss, we're going to talk about it. So that's at the $5 reward. And then I made another tier, but that's just mainly for, because, you know, I was telling you yesterday, I don't really want ads on this show, but at the same time, like I do want a lot of money. So that way I can put it back in the show and we can start having live streaming and live chat and merchandise and tours and all that stuff. But I asked for so much on that, I'm not even going to say it on the show. But go to patreon.com/thrillerpodcast. You'll see the third reward tier. I don't expect anybody. Honestly, I'm hoping what's going to happen, guys, because right now we're close. We're just above 1,000 listeners a week on this show. It's growing fast. So I'm thinking that third tier is just going to be for like fucking like whales, you know, like people that have an agenda. They want to become an executive producer, kind of like what were we saying yesterday, like Audible. Like if Audible wants to pony up a fuck ton of money for us so that way we can buy some merchandise, well shit, let them pony it up and then we'll just go buy some merch, you know. So that's why I'm looking, that's why I put that third tier, and that's why I compacted the other two tiers. So right now you can donate at $1 or you can donate at $5. I just wanted to let you guys know all about that. But yeah, anyways, thank you so much, Joseph. You're awesome, man. Let's get on to our disclaimer.
Remember, Thriller Podcast does not give financial advice. He cannot tell the future, even if he thinks he can. He is just some dude trying to save the world one Satoshi at a time.
And eventually we will save the world. So I do want to mention there is a Western coin scam video going around the YouTubes. Apparently this guy named Wavy Crypto, he has Western coin scam, 100% scam, get out. So today I was watching his video during my lunch break, and he was just talking about how Western coin's a scam that hasn't promised anything. I wouldn't say it's a scam just yet. Like I told him, I was like, because he basically, what happened to him is he got hacked on his Western coin, but it probably because he didn't set up two-factor, even though he says he sets up two-factor authentication. But then again, he's one of those people that shows like his screen. You know, you've seen him like they're on YouTube where they'll show their whole like screen and you could see everything. You can see like what operating system they run. Like you can see everything. You can see their email address. You can see their username. You can see a lot of personal shit that I think regular people don't realize that you can do a lot of damage with just simple shit like that. That's why a lot of these YouTubers that have Bitcoin and they're doing these Bitcoin like tutorials and they wonder why their Bitcoin gets stolen from. It's like, dude, you're showing everything on there. Like anybody could do that if they put a little effort behind it. It's not that hard. You have even like 14-year-old kids hacking now and shit. So yeah. Anyways, and that's why so today on the comments on YouTube, I was like, it's probably because you're showing your screen and everyone can see your email. Then they hack you from there. And he's probably called Wavy Crypto on everything else. You know, it's really not hard to do a little social engineering. And then he said, no, I got hacked. A lot of people have been hacked. It happened to me, blah, 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 blah. And I said, he goes, remember this comment when Western coin falls from the face of the earth. And I said, yeah, I was like, I'll bring it up to my listeners tonight so that they know that they're aware of it. Cause I know some of you probably have signed up to Western coin. I'm not worried. And I told you guys, like, I think I put like $40, $60 in it and they gave me like $200 worth of coin. Like to me, $60, I mean, I took a risk. I mean, that's what these lending platforms are. This is why I tell you guys not to do that anymore. Don't invest in these lending platforms like BitConnect or Western Coin. Not anymore. It doesn't make any sense to now, especially with alts going so high, you can make a bigger investment. But if you do decide to go in them, what have I always said? Create two accounts, funnel the interest back to yourself. That's what I've always said. Anyways, and then he says here, he goes, hope you understood the video. Just think about their trap. You get in, buy Western for $2, then lend it at $9. Then you want to cash out, and you cash out at $9 per coin. So let's say you have $100 interest. You want to cash out. Should be $100 in BTC. Then he says, nope, you convert it to $100 in Western coin, but you only get $10 because it's valued at $2 a coin. You know, that's I wouldn't call that a scam. That's exactly what I said when we were talking about Western coin on this podcast. When I said that, I said, you get this much, but you get that much. But the only reason it's still valued that much is because it's not on an exchange. As soon as it gets on exchange and it gets priced, you know, between $5 to $10, $15, then you can recoup back that money. But until then, I mean, you kind of have to wait, man. That's my only advice to you. Is like, he's trying to say it's a scam, but it's like they said that there was going to be on exchange by the end of December. It's getting close to the end of December, so you're right there. But until it's the end of December, we can't call it a scam yet. Now, if it becomes January 2nd, and we do this podcast, the next time you hear me, we do it, and it comes to find out that they're not on exchange, then we can go ahead and say, yeah, Western Coin is a scam. Don't believe them. But until then, they got 11 days, so they're definitely on the clock. But yeah, I wanted to bring that up so you guys know what's going on with Western Coin. All right, so let's get into our coin market cap. So yeah, it looks like Bitcoin is at $16,783. It took a huge dump, guys. I think I bought in, like, I bought it at a fuck ton. I bought it in like a 1890, I think it was. So I'm already losing money on Bitcoin. But in Bitcoin Cash, I'm gaining money because it's at $3,600. We got Ripple at 88 cents. So Ripple is spiking the fuck up. Dude, Ripple is growing some nuts on her, man. Jesus Christ. 88 cents? Oh, man. It looks like Ripple might be the next one. I'm just saying, fuck, gosh, it's kind of one of those things where you hope Stellar would win, not Ripple. Oh well. Litecoin is going down. It's at 319. I wouldn't put too much effort into what Charlie Lee, you know, investing out of Litecoin. You know, it's his life. Let the man do what he wants. You know, I wouldn't speculate too much on it. He did mention that he. They didn't add Litecoin until after he left the company because Charlie used to work at Google. Then he went on to, you know, create Litecoin. And then he went on to work at Coinbase. And he asked them to put it on Coinbase when he worked there, but they never did. Probably because it's a conflict of interest. But when he left Coinbase, that's when they added Litecoin. So it was kind of funny. But he said that he was begging for them to put Ethereum Classic. So if we look at Ethereum Classic, it's priced at $43. I don't know, guys. If he's saying that he's been begging him to add ETC, Ethereum Classic, might be smart to start buying some Ethereum Classic just to hedge our bets. I'm just saying. I want to buy some. I just don't have any money. All my money is in Bitcoin right now, so I'm holding tight. Then we got IOTA at $5.12. So that's good. It's growing. Got Cardano at 51 cents. That's good. It's still stable. We got Dash, guys. So Dash has been making a run here. It was at $800 last week. It's making a run. It's at $1,500 right now, guys. It's probably going to hit $2,000 by this weekend. Fuck. Dash is going to be the next coin on Coinbase. I'm telling you. If it's making runs like this already, people are in the know. The same thing. You know, in this cryptocurrency field, rumors are rarely kept quiet. Everything that has happened over the past, you know, over the past, I don't know, you know, 6 months, we saw everything coming. SegWit 2X, we saw that coming. Richard Hart was talking about it 2 weeks before it happened, that we knew it was going to get stopped. Same thing with Bitcoin Cash. They were talking about it weeks before it happened. Dash, right now we're talking about it. It's likely going to happen. And I think I saw somewhere on Reddit where they said Dash was a part of that screenshot, but I don't remember seeing that Dash logo on there. So it might happen, guys. Just saying, Dash might show up on Coinbase here pretty soon. Then we got NEM coin at 96 cents. Damn, dude, we watched that go from 40 cents to 96 cents in what, 2 weeks? I should have bought some. And we got Bitcoin Gold at 427. Yeah, Bitcoin Gold made a run too as well, which was kind of surprising because I don't think people, I think people are seeing the word Bitcoin in front of it and they're just buying it. Yeah, but still, I think I have some Bitcoin Gold somewhere, probably from the fork. So if it goes up, I have some. Just make sure to check y'all's wallets, guys. If you bought your cryptocurrency from Coinbase around August, you have some Bitcoin Cash. It should have showed up yesterday. So let me know if you guys need any help with that. Shoot me an email, car@thrillerpodcast.club. I will definitely help you out. Okay. So we got Monero at $4.59, EOS at $12.49. Fuck, dude, that's climbing fast. I just bought EOS here at $8 and it's already up $4. That's good. I'm totally going to cash out EOS as soon as it gets pretty high. I think I have like 30 coins of EOS. I'm just going to cash out that motherfucker. Yeah, definitely going to get out of EOS. I don't want to hold EOS for a long term. My chips are in Stellar. We got our Stellar and Cardano. We got Qtum at $66, NEO at $75. Stellar, my good girl, she's at 26 cents. Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad, Stellar. You're making moves. We got ETC, Ethereum Classic, guys, $43. I'll tell you what, man, I'm very tempted right now to just like dump my EOS and buy Ethereum Classic. Because if what Charlie said is right, it's a very possible fucking ETC might show up on Coinbase in the beginning of the year. And if that's certain, holy fuck, that would go up to like $500 like that. Probably even more. We saw what happened with Bitcoin Cash. So it's a tasty coin right now at $43. I'm just saying. We got Tron at 5 cents. So it went down a little bit. We got Lisk. So I think it was like 2 weeks ago I bought Lisk at $10. It's at $20 now. Holy shit. Only bought three of them. I was just trying to hedge my bet. Because people are really into Lisk and it might turn into a very expensive coin here in, you know, the next year or so. So just holding for that one. Maybe one day I'll cash out like at $2,000 for three coins. Who knows? Verge is at 15 cents now. So, goddamn. I haven't even checked my blockfolio yet to see how much money I've made. Fuck, guys. Like, I don't have to say it. Fuck, that's crazy. 15 cents. 2 weeks ago, I said on this podcast, 0.9 cents. We did a whole fucking episode on Verge and it was 0.9 cents. And I said, what did I say? I said, buy fucking Verge. And now it's at 15 cents. Holy shit. If you guys put $1,000 in it, fuck, you just made a fuck ton of money today at 15 cents. I'm telling you, do not sell your fucking Verge. You should have bought, if you bought Verge, let's just start off this. If you don't have Verge, buy Verge now. It's at 15 cents. You have nothing to fucking lose. Throw as much money as you can on it. I'm telling you, it's going to be fucking huge. As soon as they come out with their Wrath protocol, everything's changing. The whole cryptocurrency world is changing. I'm not even fucking guaranteeing it. I'm fucking guaranteeing it. Throw a podcast approved currency right there, the Verge. So 15 cents right now. If you don't have it, buy some. I'm telling you, buy some. As soon as it hits there, as soon as they release some new news on that Wrath protocol, it's going to change everything, guys. It's going to allow this coin to be traded anonymously or not anonymously. That changes things. You can't do that with any crypto right now. If they succeed in following through with that, holy fuck, that changes everything. I'm just saying, guys, 15 cents right now, buy. Again, this is not financial advice, but fuck. Telling you now, for the people that listened to me the first time at 0.9 cents, high five, we did it. Like, we could cash out now, we'd be fine, but we're not. Like I think I said on that podcast, buy 10,000 coins and hold, sell at 2,000 increments. So you're gonna sell at 2,000 when it gets to a dollar, so you make some money, right? That way it's worth your while, and then you sell another $2,000 when it gets to 100. And then you still have, you know, 6,000 coins. And then you sell another 2,000 when it gets to 1,000. That's how you do cryptocurrency, guys. You buy it really low and you sell in $2,000 increments, 2,000 coin increments. That's all I'm saying. And if you, as long as you can, if you don't want to sell 2,000 coins at a dollar, you don't have to. Hold out as long as you can. But I'm just saying, that's how I'm going to do it, because I got some Verge. So as soon as it gets to a dollar, I'm probably going to cash out 2,000 of my coins and make a quick 2,000 bucks and probably reinvest it somewhere else, or probably go buy myself like a new Mac or something. We got Zcash at 656. OMG. So OMG is a coin that I've been itching to get into. I need to get my priorities straight, because I do want to buy some ETC. And OMG is on second on that list. And then Verge, I always want to buy more Verge. I kind of want to buy more Verge now because it's at 15 cents. So fuck, it's just getting my priorities straight. But seriously, I want to buy some ETC and some OMG, because I think those are going to be some valuable coins here in the future. BitConnect, no one cares, at 366. And I think other than that, we got Tether at a dollar. So Tether's been at a dollar for a while now. I don't see that changing anytime soon. We got Bitcoin. So Bitcoin is down to 0.5 cents. I think we saw it go up to 0.67 cents. I thought it was going to eclipse a penny, but not likely. We got Steam at 338. So that's good on Steam. Steam's doing pretty well. We got Dogecoin at 0.7 cents. Holy shit, we got some Doge. So you know what I might do? I think if Doge gets up here, I think I might just... No, I can't sell Doge. What am I thinking? I could sell my Doge and buy some Verge. That would be smart. No, but I can't sell my Doge, even though it's a funny currency and can't sell it. We got Sia Coin status. Sia Coin's at 2 cents. We got status at 19 cents. Yeah, the rest of these coins, Digibyte is at 5 cents. The rest of these coins, they're a little smaller. We got Salt at $9. Biteball Bytes at 679. Yeah, for the most part, I think what we learned today in Coin Talk is fucking Thriller Podcast was right about Verge. So if you guys have any coins that you want me to discuss on the show, feel free to email in at car@thrillerpodcast.club. And I'll do my best to accommodate. And if your name is Joseph Aben, dude, you tell me what you want me to talk about, and I will talk about it, because you are our only patron. Our patron? Patron? Patron. You're practically the Thriller General. Anyways, in our main topic, guys, we're going to dive into Bitcoin Cash. I'm going to give you its history. I'm going to give you what you want to know about Bitcoin Cash. There's a lot of drama surrounding Bitcoin Cash. That's why I'm naming the episode The Story of Jihan Wu and Bitcoin Jesus. I know it sounds super funny, but it's not trying to be. This is real life, guys. That's what I love about cryptocurrency. There's so much folklore in cryptocurrency. Most of the stuff that I'm probably going to tell you is probably not true. Maybe it is. But what you're going to find out is going to be surprising, I think. You could literally make a movie about this one day. I think this could be like the next Social Network movie right here that I'm about to discuss right now. If you want to reach out to me for the movie rights, let me know. Just kidding. There's no way I could own the movie rights to that. Anyways, so yeah, let's get into our main topic starting now.
Time for today. Main topic on Thriller with Car Gonzalez, only on Anchor.fm.
So everybody knows who John McAfee is. If you don't know who he is, listen to this.
I'm John McAfee. I'm the guy that's accused of murdering police. My name is Guatemala. The FBI is going to be looking for him if you don't call him, sir.
The FBI?
When John came up with antiviral software, 90% of the people weren't even aware of viruses.
By 1993, McAfee controlled 67% of the desktop antivirus market.
When he first came into the country, he was very friendly.
He donated a considerable amount of equipment to police.
If you're giving donations to the police, are there some motives behind that?
He was getting paranoid.
I started seeing more and more security people.
He had guys with criminal records, give them gong.
I think he really wanted to create a cult or a mystique like Colonel Kurtz. And here he is in the heart of darkness.
How many girlfriends did he have?
At least 5 or 6 girls.
I do have teenage girlfriends, and many at a time.
He would talk about his hitmen, how he could have people hurt or killed. And he brought me 2 pills and a glass of orange juice. And I woke up dizzy, and he was standing over me naked. He went from 0 to crazy in like 2 seconds.
David broke into John's home and stole stuff.
So John asked me if I could bring 3 guys up here, slap him up, teach him a little respect.
Before torture, they knife, cut him up, stares at him in the mouth and the face.
And then he died.
John's dogs ran on the beach, and they were really ferocious. Greg Fall had it with those dogs and said, I'm going to poison those dogs. Mr. Fall was found dead.
That's just a little snip executed. Of the Showtime trailer of John McAfee. As you know, he's one of those, I wouldn't call him a villain, because, you know, as far as we know, this is just all media driven. But at the same time, it could be true. It's all from this Showtime movie called Gringo, The Dangerous Life of John McAfee. Check it out. I think it's available on Netflix or something like that, or at least Showtime for that matter. I haven't seen it yet. I do want to see it. But anyways, what he has to do with everything I'm about to talk about is very important. So I wanted to play that so you guys know what type of person he is, where he comes from, and at least what the media perceives him to be. I think that's important. Now, he was just recently on a podcast, and I think it was maybe like a week or two ago, where he was the one that talked about privacy, private coins, and how they're going to be going up. He actually even threw down Verge. He talked about Verge. And it was pretty interesting because he was talking about how Verge is going to go up and all this stuff like that. And he name dropped like Monero and Dash and all this stuff. So he's actually right now currently invested into Bitcoin mining. And so he plays in this cryptocurrency space. If you follow him on Twitter, he has some pretty interesting tells that he talks about. So he has a lot at stake here with cryptocurrency and where it's headed. So there's John McAfee, right? And then you got Roger Ver. Everybody knows who Roger Ver is. We've played some of his clips here on the podcast. He is known as Bitcoin Jesus. he owns Bitcoin.com. And he's a very interesting character himself. But I think what you need to know about Roger is he's very, how would I say this without being like, I don't want to criticize him. He's one of those people that believes that Bitcoin Cash will overtake Bitcoin, and that Bitcoin Cash is the true dream child of Satoshi Nakamoto when it comes to Bitcoin. So there's that. And then you have Jihan Wu. And Jihan Wu is the person that makes all these ant miners, the ones that actually mine Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. He's the, I believe, the CEO of that company. And his play in all this is that he's very much a person that likes to win. If you watch any videos on him, he's very calculating. The way he answers his questions, the way he talks, he just seems very calculated. I don't know if you guys ever met somebody like that, but you can kind of tell them right off the bat. They're very soft-spoken. When they do talk, they talk with vigor, and they're very calculated in the words that they choose. Jihan Wu is definitely one of those people. So on this recent episode that John McAfee was on, I don't know if he was drunk or if he was just high or whatever he was on, he actually let it slip. And he let it slip what was really going on with Bitcoin Cash. And I'm going to play that for you now. And what you're about to hear is going to be astounding, because this all makes sense now that we saw what happened with Bitcoin Cash. This is starting to come together very, very fast. And once you hear this, you will understand what this means.
Let me explain the facts of life to you guys. Now, I support Bitcoin Cash. Not often, because when I do, 1,000 trolls come out of the woodwork and hammer me into the ground. Why? because people do not like the reality of power and truth. Bitcoin Cash is the brainchild of Jihan Wu, a very close friend of mine and the founder of Bitmain, which is the only company that produces legitimate ASIC computer mining computers for Bitcoin.
Yes.
Also the most powerful man in the world because he has mined nearly half of all the Bitcoins. Wow. And he's never sold a single one. Please run the math, people. So he owns the company, the only company that manufactures the mining machines. Plus he owns all of the fucking Bitcoins. Plus he is Chinese. Plus he's already come out with the Litecoin miner. And he's coming out with the most incredible ASIC computer ever thought of, which is an artificial intelligence ASIC computer.
Wow,
so this dude,
wow.
He's got to be the richest man in the world. He's a tiny little Chinese man. He's very young, never been married, and oddly enough, we're good friends. Also, I'm good friends with Roger Ver, who is also good friends with Jihan. Now, first of all, I want to ask you something. You've got Jihan Wu in one corner. You've got the entire Bitcoin community in the other. They do not like Jihan because he has the power. Well, so I'm sorry. Fuck you, people. I made friends with Jihan. I'm not stupid. This man cannot lose. So now we've got a fork coming up, that came up. Jihan was the brainchild of Bitcoin Cash. Where do you think you get all that money came from when these coins suddenly appeared in everybody's account who had Bitcoins? Please, God. So now, Bitcoin Cash, in the short term, I can't help you folks. It may go to zero. It may go to $100,000. I don't have a fucking clue. There's not enough information for me to predict. But I promise you, in the next 3 years, Bitcoin Cash will win. Why? Because in the corner supporting it is the world's most powerful man. Get a clue. Whether you like it or not, he's going to win. So he and Roger Ver orchestrated and architected the existence of Bitcoin Cash. The fact that it got up to almost $2,500 once is a miracle to me. All right?
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
It's still way above what is the price of BCH right now? I haven't checked it.
I think it's like 17 or 18.
1800?
Well, this morning it was
Do you realize the fucker came out at 500?
So I know.
Already it's tripled in value. Get a clue.
I know.
In the long run, this is all that I know. Jihan can't lose. He's the god of Bitcoin. And if the god of Bitcoin is deciding the real Bitcoin is going to be BCH.
That's what it's going to
be. BCH clearly is the one that more closely is in line with Satoshi's white paper. Satoshi doesn't talk with Segwit. Good God Almighty, that mind couldn't possibly imagine such a monster as Segwit. He could not. So Jihan is correct. Now, I can't tell you when. I don't have enough data on PCH. I need data. I'm a mathematician and a statistician. Give me as much data as Bitcoin can. I promise you, I'll print that motherfucker to the very dollar at the end of 2030. I mean, the end of 2020. However, I can't do that currently with BCH. I can tell you it's going to win. How can it not? And by the way, after this thing, probably people are going to be knocking on my door with baseball bats. Because they hate BCH.
Really?
Now, you asked me a question, I answered it honestly, and because my answer has put me in jeopardy, I expect you guys the next time I'm on to promote whatever the fuck I want to promote.
Yeah, so if you can hear his voice, to me that sounds like a man that is telling the truth. He doesn't really give a fuck, and that's kind of one. That's his thing, you know. John McAfee doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't give a fuck who he pisses off. He doesn't give a fuck what he says. He doesn't give a fuck about anything. You know, if all these rumors are true, then he's one of those people that just doesn't give a fuck. So it wouldn't surprise me if there's tons of pictures, guys, of Roger Ver, of Jihan Wu and McAfee hanging out with each other. They look like close friends in these pictures. I'm sure he's telling the truth. I'm sure he believes what he is saying. So let's just take that at face value, right? What's funny is you listen to somebody like Roger Ver and he denies everything. He doesn't specifically deny what John McAfee is saying. because he's probably heard the podcast, but he's not going to comment on it. Jihan Woo will not talk about this, but I'm going to play you something from this episode that Roger Ver was on, and he got pretty upset when somebody when the interviewer actually called him out on the air live about this. So check this out.
First 7 or 8 years existence. So in order to keep that the same,
there was never effectively no blast size limit. Stop saying that. It was never, ever. It's like you can find it in the code. It's there.
Effectively, no block size limit because the blocks were never, ever, ever 1 megabyte until just recently.
I don't think you understand what effectively means. It was not effectively that, because if it was effectively infinite, people would have effectively made it infinite. They would have used it.
There wasn't even 1 megabyte worth of block space demand in the market up until very recently. Otherwise, the blocks would have been 1 megabyte a long time ago. So the fact that the blocks were always 5 or 10 or 50 kilobytes means that there wasn't infinite demand for block space, even back when the block space was free, most of the transactions for free. And just very recently, the blocks became full, and Bitcoin's the first currency to ever have that happen to. That's incredibly reckless. And in any other business, if a team of developers are hired to solve a problem, and then it failed this incredibly miserably and caused the entire network to be backed up and congested and less reliable than ever before, they would be fired. And that's exactly what's happening in the Bitcoin ecosystem as a whole. Businesses like Bitcoin.com, blockchain.info, Coinbase, take your pick, are all busy integrating Bitcoin Cash because it works, and it works the same way that Bitcoin did for the first 7 or 8 years of Bitcoin's history. And if people want to keep using Bitcoin Core, that's just fine. More power to them. Feel free to pay your $20 and wait 2 days for your transaction to get confirmed. If you want fast, cheap, reliable transactions that work exactly how Bitcoin used to work for its first 7 or 8 years of history, that's Bitcoin Cash. And that's why we're
I think you need to be careful calling Bitcoin Cash reliable. You have your difficulty swings where you're processing, I don't know, 50 blocks in one day, inflating it way past the rate of Bitcoin, of the original Bitcoin.
Less than 1% difference.
So what, you're okay with inflation?
I prefer to have less inflation rather than more, but the amount of inflation...
Prefer to have less. Why doesn't Bitcoin Cash have less inflation than Bitcoin?
Bitcoin Cash currently has the same inflation schedule as Bitcoin Core.
Then why are there so many more Bitcoin Cash tokens than Bitcoin tokens?
For a short period of time, Bitcoin Cash managed to suck away a whole bunch of the hash rate from Bitcoin Core, which should be terrifying for Bitcoin Core supporters. What happens if Bitcoin Cash continuously is more profitable to mine than Bitcoin Core, and more miners switch away from Bitcoin Core to Bitcoin Cash? And instead of the Bitcoin Core blocks that are only 1 megabyte each being every 10 minutes apart, they become every 20 minutes or every 30 minutes. So Bitcoin Core's throughput capacity gets cut in half or cut by a third.
Well, any shift in mining hash power is going to affect either chain. And it affects your chain more than it's affecting Bitcoin currently. So don't paint it as if, what's wrong with Bitcoin? Because right now, Bitcoin Cash
is
wild. And you're printing more coins. And I want to bring up something else about Bitcoin Cash that I don't think anybody else really brings up. But when you reset the difficulty to be lower, I forget what you're calling your algorithm stuff, EDA and such. When you reset that difficulty to be a lower value, it allows miners to reuse old work that would have been invalid on Bitcoin. So they can spam blocks and they can get block rewards without doing the same amount of work. And when you do it, when you fork again to fix that algorithm and reset the difficulty again, you repeatedly give them that opportunity to reuse old work like that. So your chain allows ASIC boost, it allows malleability, and it allows reusing of work. So how are there some pretty big disadvantages? Oh, and it has higher inflation. If there's two shot to 256 coins and somebody's overpaying for one of them, everybody should expect the miners to go there because miners are mining for profit. They aren't mining idealistically. If they have an opportunity to make more money, they're going to make it. So when you go and you convert whatever amount of Bitcoins you converted to Bitcoin Cash and you pump the price, that's demand and they see it and they're going to come back and they're going to come and give you your demand. They're going to say, okay, I'll mine your coin if you want to overpay for it. But eventually, there is no problem with that at all. Okay. Buy whatever coin you want and fund whatever miner you want. There's no problem with that at all.
We agree. Okay.
So I don't know. Let's move on to the next point.
Well, I guess I can elaborate on that point that we do agree on, is that more and more businesses are going to start to use Bitcoin Cash. More and more Bitcoin Cash happening around the world. More and more people will be using it in commerce. And as that happens, more and more people will start to use Bitcoin Cash as a store of value. And once Bitcoin Cash consistently is more profitable to mine than Bitcoin Core, more and more of that hash rate will switch over to Bitcoin Cash. And Bitcoin Core can adjust fast enough on Bitcoin Core that its throughput capacity will be even more limited than it is today, which will make it even less usable than it is today, which will drive even more people to use Bitcoin Cash. And I see that there's, I would guess that there's a more likely than not chance that Bitcoin Cash will eventually suck away all of Bitcoin Core's hash rate and all of Bitcoin Core's commerce that's happening in the world. I think that that's more likely than not.
It's like Bitcoin Cash is doing something new. We've had the only difference between Bitcoin Cash and every altcoin that's tried to do what you're doing is that it used a proof of stake sort of holders for the tokens, copied it, and made a fork. Roger, you disagree with every premise that allows you to be able to use Sybil attacks and spam. Like, that's what you do. You use your marketing. You get a bunch of socks to re-like and retweet everything that you're doing. You upvote and downvote whatever you like.
I'd like to address that, too. So that's an absolute lie, and I take offense that people claim that I'm using sock puppets to do whatever. I've never, ever paid any sort of social media company to do any sort of astroturfing at all, ever.
You have Bird. You have the Birds thing that literally does that.
Yeah, Birds is a public platform where anybody can post anything and promote anything that they want on there. So Peter Todd had a bunch of tweets that were being promoted on there, right? Is he an astroturfer? No. Anybody can post their tweets up there and have it retweeted for – and that was one of the most powerful marketing tools there. A bunch of core trolls had it complained to Twitter and had it taken offline.
You created a platform to obfuscate whether anybody could see that you were doing this or not. You could use your own platform to fund it. You are a cheerleader of Bcash, so people point at you as somebody that would be the source.
Continue insulting me? I'm not interested in continuing this. It's Bitcoin Cash. Get it straight, and if you do that again, I'm going to end the interview because I'm not interested in being insulted. Okay, I'm promoting Bitcoin Cash.
It's not an insult. Why do you have to take it personally? It's just a name. I actually like it better.
Insulted here? I'm being insulted. I don't need to be insulted by you. I have enough money. I was a self-made multimillionaire before I ever got involved in Bitcoin. I don't need to have my buttons pushed by people like you on the internet. It's Bitcoin Cash.
Roger, the only reason you want to call it Bitcoin Cash is because you want to co-opt the brand.
So it's pretty crazy. He gets really upset, especially when you use that term Bcash. He hates that term. It's kind of one of those things, guys, where there's a lot of moving parts. And I'm sure Roger is coming from a great place. You can hear it in his voice. He sounds very sincere. He sounds like he really does care about, you know, cryptocurrency and does care about the overall this overall space. I know a lot of people look at him because he's an easy target. I mean, if you just look at the guy, he's clean shaven, no tattoos, no discernible marks. He looks like he, you know, was raised, you know, spoiled. I'm not saying this is just by looking at him. That's all. So I'm not saying this is what he is. I'm just saying like, he just looks like that. He's an easy target. But he's one of the biggest champions when it comes to Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. He was there from the beginning, and he got on this early before anybody else did. I think Andreas Antopoulos is another person that I would look to as another person that, you know, had got on this early and, you know, maybe not invested in the cryptocurrency space, but is it investing in cryptocurrency and just in general as an overall good thing? You know, whether the person that's interviewing him likes it or not, you know, Roger Ver is a very important person inside the space. His opinions are loud, and I think he does come from a good place. I think he thinks that he's actually doing good for society. This last part I'm going to play for you. The interviewer actually goes and takes a shot at him. And this is actually from Bitcoin Error Log. And you can check it out on YouTube. I'm going to link to it in the show notes. So I just want you guys to hear this interview. I know that whole part was kind of long, but it really gives you an explanation of why Bitcoin Cash has transcended the way it is, the way it has. And it really goes to the overall story that McAfee had said. So I'm going to play the last part, and this is where it cuts off.
I'm trying to change the entire world for the better by giving every single human being on the planet the ability to have complete control of their own finances. And you're here insulting what I'm trying to do, calling names and calling my projects names. And then you don't have any real world.
I called it literally a name, not an insult. And now you're the one trying to insult me for the type of work that I do. Yeah, I see nothing wrong with sex. I see nothing wrong with people entertaining themselves.
But people selling whatever porn they want on the internet, I have no problem with that whatsoever. I'm a libertarian and a voluntarist. I think it's great for the girls. It's great for the guys. Everybody's happy. Or if it's guys and guys or guys and girls, whatever, you know, whatever you want to get involved there, I have no problem with that whatsoever. So I'm not a prude when it comes to that, but I don't think it's okay to insult people, right? If I started calling your website, correct pronunciation is Exotica. If I started calling it Stupotica, you would take offense to that.
You're adding the word stupid in there. Where did I add an insult when I say Bcash? I'm just abbreviating to make it easy to say. It's not like personal. There's no personal aspect to it.
The supporter of Bitcoin Cash doesn't like it being called Bcash. So I'm asking you nicely, and I ask you politely.
Isn't that kind of indicative? That's kind of indicative of how centralized it could be. If there are only a few people that even care. It's like you and Jahan, and then everybody else.
There's only two types of people that call it Bcash. They're people that have been brainwashed by this social media attack to call it Bcash. And I implore anybody who watches this to go out and Google why Bitcoin Cash is called Bcash. And Yonald Fuchbal, or however you pronounce his difficult name, wrote a fantastic essay explaining exactly what's going on there. It's a social media attack to try and confuse people about what Bitcoin Cash is. And so there's only two people that call it Bcash. It's people that are trying to engage in that social manipulation, or it's people that have been manipulated and brainwashed by that social manipulation. And I don't think you're one of the people that's been socially brainwashed. I think you're one of the ones trying to do that brainwashing. And so I don't appreciate it. I'm not going to stand for it. Life is busy. Life is short. Okay. I don't need to be standing here.
I'm going to mirror rebuttal the same comment. I think that there are only three people that want to call Bitcoin Cash Bitcoin Cash. You and Jahan and your sock puppets. Okay? Because there's nobody else.
I've never hired a single sock puppet. I don't need to be insulted. But please post this to the entire world to see how incredibly rude you are to me.
So at the end, he just starts trolling him and just starts saying, Bcash, Bcash, Bcash. I don't know if you could hear that. It's a weird, it's kind of, you know, and hats off to Roger for like actually coming on the show and facing that guy. He definitely is trolling him. I think the entire internet enjoys trolling Roger Ver. I think that's the part of it that most people don't understand, or maybe he does understand that, but maybe he just doesn't care. Or I think he cares too much. Most definitely. He does care too much. Now I would love to have Roger on the show. When we start having guests on the show, I'm going to be one of those people that's not going to get into topics like that. Just because why piss somebody off, especially if they're making time out of their day to show up on your show, ask them about stuff that they want to talk about. And then he could have asked that question in an insightful way. Instead of saying like you and Jihan and all this stuff like that, he could have said, you know, he could have said something to the likes of, what's going on with John McAfee spending all this stuff about you and Jihan? He could have just said it like that in a jokingly way to see what he says. He could have said, I don't know what John, he could have avoided the question and said, I don't know what John McAfee says. Or he could have just said, yeah, I barely met John, you know, whatever. Like, it would have cleared a lot of stuff up either way. Or he could have just said no comment and that would have been fine. But at least you know where the line was drawn. I think by him just kind of trolling him and doing that, teasing him and stuff, is just, it's not cool, you know? So if you guys want to check out that video, check it out, Bitcoin Error Log. It has a whole interview. I'm going to play one last thing, and that's from Jihan himself. You're going to hear him talk, and I think if there's anybody to blame for any of this, if you do want to blame somebody for this, and I think, like I've been saying, guys, I think Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin can live in the same world. It can be the number one and number two currencies, and just as long as it has the Bitcoin name in there, it's fine. It's not right how Bitcoin Cash rose to stardom, but you know they played the game right and they got there early. So, you know, you're not gonna hate somebody for playing the game correctly. They got in there first, and this is what happens. You know, the people that got into the oil industry first did everything they could to buy the railroad so they can transfer that oil. You know, it wasn't like, you know, you didn't have some other. I'm sure there was tons of oil guys that were like, oh man, they cornered the market and they got there first. You know, and that shit happens. It's business. It happens, and it happened again, just like with Steve Jobs and Bill Gates.
You and I are both like guys that had this rich neighbor, Xerox, that left the door open all the time, and you go sneaking in to steal the TV set.
Only when you get there, you realize that I got there first. I got the loot, Steve! And you're yelling? That's not fair! I wanted to try to steal it first. You're too late.
We're better than you are. We have better stuff.
You don't get it, Steve. That doesn't matter.
You know, and it's true. You know, and well, in the end, it did matter. You know, like 20 years later, you know, now that Apple's doing great and Microsoft, well, they're kind of making a comeback. But you know what I mean? I mean, that's the whole point with the Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. It's one of those things where, like, okay, Bitcoin was there first, okay, and it's winning. And then you have these guys, you know, pulling together this plan to take over because they want their fork, the Bitcoin Cash side, to win. And now you're fighting with each other because it's an open market and there's no regulation and it's cryptocurrency. And one side's trying to be altruistic and the other side's not. Eh, are you surprised? I'm not. So check this out by Chihan.
First, I think we should look at the software of Bitcoin Core. Bitcoin Core as a piece of software right now, I think definitely we can safely say that it's governed by a design committee, that a small group of people will decide the direction of whether this piece of software will go. Mm-hmm. But Bitcoin as kind of a social agreement, I think this is mm-hmm. the first time that in human history that we have such a thing. I think that in the past we just let the whole social agreement being governed by the same software that is a reference implementation of Bitcoin Core.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that this model have got some problem. I think that the social agreement of Bitcoin cannot be just under the same control of the design committee of a small group of people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so a design committee of a small group of people. I do see what you mean. I mean, we all know the so-called stars of Bitcoin Core, Luke Jr. or Greg Maxwell, etc. But if you look at the GitHub and all the contributors, it is a wide range of people. It is a lot of different people. Could you still really call it a small group that contributes? I don't have the numbers right off the top of my head, but really, if you look over it, it's a lot of different people from different companies that have contributed to the Bitcoin Core GitHub. So you still would say it's a small committee?
Yeah, I think that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, in open source software culture, this phenomenon have been thoroughly researched.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of contradictory to people's instinct. That
mm-hmm.
first, the software is open source. You can copy, you can fork away at any time you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all the open source software can be contributed by all the people around the world. If you have the right skills and you can start to submit a pull request to the GitHub, mm-hmm. and you can work on it. Basically, that's both the truth. However, most of the open source software have kind of ownership issues.
Mm-hmm.
If you fork away and add some patch that is not a consent from
mm-hmm.
the original, you need maybe it's a one person or a group, small group of persons consent.
Mm-hmm.
You can fork away and patch a thing that without the consent of the original group of people. This behavior in open source community is widely unacceptable. People will call it kind of rocket patches, not only Bitcoin things. It's all the open source software things.
Mm-hmm.
Because in such kind of phenomenon, people will say that, indeed, the open source software have kind of ownership things. This is kind of a common law about just like a land title, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some group of people moved into a piece of land. No one owns this piece of land. He started to build things on this land. He becomes the owner of this land. Maybe one day he discarded this piece of land and some other people build new things around it, and the new people will become the ownership of this land. Maybe lots of people still make contributions, but who owns this piece of land is still kind of clear. This is still kind of ownership. So those people who make arguments that there are hundreds of people that contribute to CORE, and then CORE is owned by hundreds of people or is not owned by a small group of people, that is not true. The GitHub have a kind of lead maintainer's position that his authority is much higher than other committers, and there are definitely a very clear people who see that you said the stars, they have very strong influence, stronger than any other group of people, and the manliness discussion can be censored. And it's fine because the manliness is privately owned. The owner of the manliness can have its right to censor any opinion he thinks that it's right to censor. So this is all about ownership. Mm. It's violated its nature that if there's ownership, right?
So if you listen to what he says, and it's very hard to understand him, I do realize that, but I listened to it several times. He's basically saying that Bitcoin Core, at its core, is just a small group of people. And then the interviewer argues that, no, it's actually a lot of people. And then he argues back and says, no, it's about censorship. So he obviously has his valid argument. If you listen to what he says, he doesn't like that it's just a small group of people that control Bitcoin. And him himself is a miner. He's a CEO of Bitmain. So he has a stake in it too as well, and he can't risk his livelihood. And it's kind of one of those things where if you think about it, everybody is not wrong and no one's behaving irrationally. It's just they all are vying for their own interests. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like the end of Looper.
Then I saw it. I saw a mom who would die for her son. A man who would kill for his wife. A boy, angry and alone, laid out in front of him the bad path. I saw it. And the path was a circle. Round and round. So I changed it.
So I think what we needed to really, how do I say this? It's kind of like, overall, you can have the Bitcoin Jesus, Roger Ver. You can have Jihan Wu, you know, as the Lord King of Bitcoin mining. You can have John McAfee with his crazy predictions. You can have all this going on at once. You can have Bitcoin Core fighting with everything else. You can have these high transaction fees. You can have the people like us that are speculating on stuff like this. You can have the enthusiasts like ourselves who are also fans of this as well. You can have the media, Forbes, Morgan Stanley, all those people talking about it, speculating on it. It's all relative in the end, guys. It's all the same coin, Bitcoin. Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin, to me, it's all the same. Just as long as you buy Bitcoin, save the fucking world. See you guys next year. If you guys are interested in more of Thriller Podcast, find us on Twitter at Thriller Podcast. You can also find us on our very active Instagram page at Thriller Podcast. I do post some snaps every once in a while on Snapchat at car-gons. If you want to find us on our website, go to thrillerpodcast.club. And finally, if you want to send us an email, go ahead at car@thrillerpodcast.club, and I'll make sure to read it on the show. So during the episode, lo and behold, I see somebody else just became a patron. John Bueller, thank you so much for becoming a patron of Thriller Podcast. I appreciate you. Gosh, we already have a general and a lieutenant. That's awesome. Thriller Army's growing, people. You guys need to jump in on it. I'm telling you, 2018 is going to be the year of the crypto. You heard it here first on Thriller Podcast.
So if you guys would like to support the show, head over to patreon.com/thrillerpodcast and become a part of the Thriller Army. $1 a month subscription will get you free access to all our shows before they become live.
And also, guys, remember that whenever it comes to new shows, special editions, movie reviews, everything like that, it's only getting posted on Patreon first. Some of these only just get posted on Patreon. So if you're not a Patreon subscriber at $1 a month, you're probably missing out on some good content, especially if you love Thriller Podcast.
It's only $1 a month and you can cancel at any time. If you guys would like to support the show in a different way, check out our show notes. There's a couple links there for you to click on. Any one of those will directly support Thriller Podcast. Thanks again. Hope you guys enjoy the show. We'll see you next time on Thriller Podcast. We are out.
This is the end of the show. You have been listening to Thriller Podcast with Cara Gonzalez. Thriller Podcast wants you to have a nice day. Remember to buy Bitcoin and save the world, one Satoshi at a time.